The date, Friday, February 2nd, 2024. Place was Church of the Rock, Missions Fest 2024. I wandered amongst the exhibitors, over 100 of them, and saw and noticed there's so many different missions that are occurring. And then a thought occurred to me. Each and every one of these organizations are wanting to minister to our very broken world. And they see the lost and they have this desire to help, to train, or to do whatever they can to share the gospel all over the world. And it seems like, as I read the news and look at our world on social media, it would appear that so many seem to be into themselves, into their truth, into where facts and reality don't seem to matter anymore. But then as I looked around the mass of people, I noticed something. There were hundreds of youth amongst all of the people. And as I looked, I realized that they were interacting with all of the different booths. And it was an amazing sight to see how these young people are talking with all of these different mission organizations and wanting to know what is happening in their world and how they could get involved. And I saw on Instagram this week, it was a post by a young man who I really don't know. It just came up in something that was suggested to me. I don't know, maybe one of you guys saw it or whatever. And anyways, it came up and it was talking more specifically about the youth late night worship session, which I didn't attend, he was talking about it, and he said this. He mentioned that some of the students who were there had never prayed for more than a few minutes at a time. So spending a total of 35 minutes in prayer was something very new. Now, I have no idea what happened. But he said this. He said, at one point I stood in the middle of the room. Surrounding me, I could hear this generation crying for God. Crying to God in prayer. Folks, if that doesn't encourage you, I don't know what will. I really don't. To know that we have a generation that loves God and is willing to spend not just 1 or 2 minutes in prayer, but spending over a half an hour in prayer and crying out to God. Now, I assume there was some sort of worship praise, like they were advertising the worship team and stuff. And it was, I kind of wish I had stayed, but I didn't. But this went on without me, and I am so glad that it did. And this morning, as we get back into Genesis, I want to begin with the reality of the story. All of this that is happening is because of this story. On day 1, 2, and 3, God created time, space, and matter, and he inserted himself into this creation. And then he separated the waters and he created the atmosphere. And on day 3, he created vegetation and dry land, and all of this was made. And on these days, he formed all of creation. And then he began to fill it. And last week, we talked about days 4 and 5 and the beginning of day 6. And what God created in those days, he focused on the things that he created. He created all the fish and all the birds and all the creepy crawlies and all the beasts of the land. And he created it all. And he fills his creation for his glory. But he also did it for our good. Now our focus today is on only one verse. I know it's sped up and gotten to almost 3 full days last week. Today we're slowing down to just one single verse. And this one single verse says this in Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." Now here's our main idea for today. Because we are image bearers of God, our purpose is to reflect, to reveal, and to represent Him. Now I want you to notice at the very beginning of verse 26, then God said. It's as if there's this solemn pause after God formed and filled the earth with all the previous animals. In the verses, as he considers creating and man and woman, this anticipation of getting ready to hear what God was going to do next. And then God said, "Let us." Now this phrase is an emphatic imperative, and it could be translated as "we will." Let us. It's like God is consulting with himself before creating man. And up until this point, God's speaking has been intentionally measured. Let there be, and it was. Let there be this, let there be this, let there be this. But now God changes things up and said, "Let us." Right? And the plural use of "us" is early evidence of the Trinity. Just like the name Elohim is plural. And yet, it's followed by the word "said." And this word "said" is singular, signifying that there is plurality within oneness. And one pastor captured it well. He says, "God, who is one, communes with himself, the Father, to the Son to the Spirit to the Father, and in perfect agreement, Adam and Eve were created." And this word "to make" means to accomplish or to complete. It refers to an activity with distinct purpose or goals in mind. And then there is this word "man." Let us make man. Now the word "man" is Adam. In the Hebrew, it's this generic term for mankind, which was also the proper noun for Adam, referring to the first created male. You see, humans were the last of God's creation, and we were his crowning achievement. Animals were made according to their kinds, but humans are in a class that is completely different, that is above. We are the pinnacle of God's creative genius. And in addition to the creation of man and woman, is narrated with greater detail in chapter 2. And we're going to look at that in depth when we get there. But no other part of creation is given this much attention. Now, I said we're only going to look at one verse, but I want to look at verse 27. Just mention it very briefly because we're going to talk about it all next week. But verse 27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And three times we are told that God created man. And the fact that we are made in his image is emphasized twice. There is no room for harmonizing the Genesis account with some sort of a evolution or of origin of man or something of this nature. There's no need for it because God says, let us make man in our image. You don't have to worry about, maybe I evolved somehow from some single cell organism over the time, over space and millions of years. And you are more than just matter. Because you matter greatly to the Almighty. You have been created with dignity, with value, with worth, and with purpose. And in this passage, I see three purposes. The first is to reflect. This purpose comes from the phrase, "Let us make man in our image." You see, this word "in" can be translated in essence. The word "image" in Hebrew refers to a statue or a model meant to show the image of somebody. Now, typically, we think of sculptures as they're more 3D, but a painting would work as well. Somehow we think of these sculptures and some of them they just look so realistic. It's sometimes hard to tell the difference between the sculpture and the original. Apparently, if you go to some of these wax museums, they're so lifelike that they get the celebrities that they're made after standing next to them, and it's like, which is which? This doctrine is often referred to as the imago Dei, or Dei, which is the Latin, which I'm not really good at Latin. I butchered it. I'm sorry to those who know Latin. But it's this phrase that means in the image of God. But have you ever stopped to think about what does it actually mean to be in the image of God, to be made in God's image? Since God is spirit, this refers to human life as a reflection of God's nature. In a post from Ligonier Ministries, it captures it like this: we are all like God in ways that nothing else in creation is like God. Although we are not so like him that there is no distinction between creator and creature. Have you ever stopped to consider what it really means to be created in the image of God? And so this morning I want us to do that. You see, we exhibit some of God's characteristics. As theologians say, we share in some of God's communicable attributes, though in very limited ways. This would include things like truth and love, kindness, goodness, compassion, wisdom, holiness, and justice. But more importantly than those things, we are able to worship. The Psalms are full of worship of God. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens, says Psalm 96. Could have gone and done the whole thing, but it just, there's a portion of it. We've been given dignity. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man, that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor, says Psalm 8. Every person has a unique personality, some more than others, but we're all able to be aware. We have the ability to be self-conscious. We can talk. We've been given the ability to communicate with words, expressions, and even through sign language. Our minds can reason. We can think logically. We can use reason. Some of us actually use it. Some don't. We have been given common sense. Even if so many people don't use common sense, and common sense isn't very common anymore. We've been given the ability to do this. We can know what is right and what is wrong. We have life, a spirit, a will. Because we are image bearers of God, our purpose is to reflect, to reveal, and to represent him. And so our second person is drawn from the phrase, after our likeness. And this idea repeats in Genesis chapter 5. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. And you see, this word likeness is almost, but not quite synonymous with image. It serves to intensify it. As an emphatic superlative. One commentator suggests that we could read it this way. In the likeness of our image. Is there to emphasize this. To make us really truly see that this is something special. And while image and likeness are closely related. There are some differences. But at the risk of oversimplifying. We are like a mirror which reveals God. When people look at us, they should learn some of what God is like. And when we look at others, we must remember that they reflect and reveal who God is, though in a very limited and deeply flawed way. Psalm 19, verse 1 tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. And Genesis 1:26 reminds us that we have been uniquely created to reflect and reveal who God is, since we have been made in his image and in his likeness. So as humans, our worth and our value is intrinsic because we have been created in the image and likeness of God. And we've been done that to display his character. We don't have to work to establish our worth. We are already worthy because we have been made by who we have been made. He made us. And to fully know who we are, we must first know whose we are. In Isaiah 43, the main reason that we've been created is to show God's glory. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. See, because we are image bearers of God, our purpose is to reflect, to reveal, to represent Him. And so let's look at that third purpose, to represent. It's found in the last half of verse 26. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and everything that creeps, or every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. You see, this word dominion means to exercise a domain, to rule, to subjugate. Part of our purpose as image bearers is to lovingly rule over God's creation, over His created order as His earthly vice regents. God has given us delegated authority. He is sovereign. We are just simply stewards with the responsibility for the care of His creation. And in a similar way, we're responsible to manage the resources that He has entrusted us for His glory and for His purposes. This also suggests facing down opposition in anticipation of spiritual encounters with evil. We see this hint coming from Genesis chapter 4, which says this: if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. It desires for you, but you must rule over it. See, just as kings in the ancient times would often set up statues of themselves in remote areas to show their sovereign domain, so God established His representatives here on earth. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I remember when, at least in my very first elementary school, every single classroom had a picture of the Queen. All of them did, to remind us that she was queen, she was our ruler, she was who she was, and we were part of the Commonwealth. I'm not sure if you could walk into a school today and find a picture of, well, King Charles anywhere, or even the Queen at this point. I'm not sure they even still have them. I mean, she's on our coins still. I've heard that King Charles is coming to our money. I've seen it in the news. I've never found one yet. But that's okay. It's there to remind us. J. Vernon McGee said, "We are not to make images of God because He has already done so. We are His image. We are in His likeness. Therefore, He values us highly. We are made to resemble and to reflect His majesty as His ruling representatives." Now, I can't help think that some of us who reflect His image are more like the mirrors in a funhouse. We're a little distorted. Some of us are distorted some ways and others this way, and some just all over the place. But we're there trying to represent and reflect and reveal His image to the world around us. We're doing it the best we can, but sometimes it's not really great. But because we are image bearers of God, our purpose is to reflect, to reveal, and to represent Him. How are we doing at that? There is dignity in every single human being. Stop and think about this. You have never once, ever in your entire life, looked into the eyes of someone who does not matter to God. There are several results and implications of being an image bearer of God that should be self-evident. These truths belong to us by virtue of being members of the human race. Because everyone you meet is an image bearer of God, it's important for us to treat every individual with dignity, with respect, and kindness. Last week I was teaching us that if we look at all of creation and say, hey, God made that. Even the creepy crawly things, God made that. God made the big things and the small things. He made the trees and the... God made that. If we do that, then when we encounter anyone, we need to say they are created in the image of God. Perhaps we need to say it to ourselves more often. Or maybe you need to just say it out loud more often so that it sinks in. But how do we practically live this out? Well, don't look down at someone or curse them or gossip about them. You know, we tend to categorize, to criticize, and to cancel people, but we must remember there's only one category. Every individual reflects and represents God's image. They are created in the image of God. Everyone. And as we look around this room today, everyone is made in the image of God. We all understand that, but when we meet someone who is in a tough spot, or maybe they're not a believer, we must still remember that they too are made in God's image. In Matthew 25, Jesus taught a parable. And near the end of the parable, we read this. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of these, one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. There's a category of people that is near and dear to my heart, yet our world doesn't really tend to, there's a section of our world that doesn't recognize them. And that's the preborn. The preborn matter. In the midst of all of the pro-choice movement, the primary questions related to abortion is this. Are the preborn people who are made in the image of God? Let me tell you, in Luke chapter 1, we have Mary going to visit Elizabeth. You guys know the story? And as she arrives, it says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb. This happened because Mary was pregnant with Jesus. Now I want you to think for a moment. Jesus, our Creator, came to this earth, the earth that He created in the same way that everyone does since Adam and Eve. He came in utero. He came in the womb. And the Word declares that He knits us together in the womb. And when He was knitting John the Baptist together in Elizabeth's womb, He was knitting Himself together in Mary's womb, which was in the womb which He knit together in Mary's mother's womb. I think you know what I'm saying here. He did it all. Like, He came in the same way to identify with us. Jesus came in that vulnerable state to identify with you. And if you skip ahead to chapter 2 in Luke, Mary laid the baby Jesus in the manger after he was born. And the amazing thing about the scripture is the exact same word was used about John the Baptist and Jesus in the womb as out of the womb, because they are the same. The Greek uses the same word. The preborn and the newborn are one in the same. And if you've ever wondered, abortion is dehumanizing and destroying human life. Because the preborn matter, but we must also avoid age discrimination. Don't look down at someone who's older than you or younger, because everyone you meet is an image bearer of God. In 1 Timothy 4, it says, "Let no one despise you for your youth." Leviticus 19 says, "You shall stand up before the gray head and honor and face and the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord." They are created in the image of God. We need to reject any form of racism. Everyone matters, because everyone is made in the image of God. James chapter 2 says, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." Every race is part of the human race. There's just one. Give dignity to those with disabilities or genetic disorders. Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, "But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The list goes on and on. The poor, the marginalized, the refugees, the orphans, etc. Our society loves to categorize. It loves to label, to separate. But we are all created in the image of God. Amen. Thank you. And within our relationships, we need to remember to practice purity. As an image bearer of God, remember to treat other image bearers with purity and respect. Avoid hatred and jealousy in your heart. Be sensitive to the deaf and the hard of hearing. Be sensitive to those who are blind and those who struggle with their eyesight. Care for those who struggle with mental health, with issues of depression or suicidal tendencies. I've often said that we need to be careful about how we judge those who sin differently than you do. Because we are image bearers of God, our purpose is to reflect, to reveal, and to represent Him. You matter to God. Some of you may not believe that you matter to God, because of what you've done or what has been done to you. Well, the next time you look in the mirror, no matter how marred you are or how marred you might feel, say, "I matter because I'm created in the image of God." You see, the love of God is greater far than tongues or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. No matter how marred you are or damaged you may feel, you were made by Him, for Him, and for His glory, because He loves you. If you haven't heard it today, let me tell you right now, Jesus loves you so very much. He was willing to come as a baby in that vulnerable state. He came to suffer and die for you because he loves you so very much. And you are an image bearer of God. And I love you too. Let's sing. Walter.